Hello, everybody. We are continuing through the book of Amos, and today we're going to be reading Amos chapter 3, verse 1, all the way through chapter 4, verse 5. So again, this is Amos chapter 3, and then we'll read up until chapter 4, verse 5. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if he has taken nothing? Does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Proclaim to the strongholds in Ashdod and to the strongholds in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria and see the great tumults within her and the oppressed in her midst. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord, those who store up violence and robbery in their strongholds. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land and bring down your defenses from you, and your strongholds shall be plundered. Thus says the Lord, as the shepherd rescues from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the people of Israel who dwell in Samaria be rescued with the corner of a couch and part of a bed. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, declares the Lord God, the God of hosts, that on the day I punish Israel for his transgressions, I will punish the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will strike the winter house along with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall come to an end, declares the Lord. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring that we may drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days are coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks. And you shall go out through the breaches, each one straight ahead, and you shall be cast out into Harmon, declares the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress, to Gilgal and multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving of that which is leavened, and proclaim freewill offerings, publish them. For so you love to do, O people of Israel, declares the Lord God. So yesterday we read about the judgment upon Judah and Israel, and today we're getting a continuation of that theme. And God is telling the people of Israel through his prophet Amos what will come of them. So if yesterday's passage can be seen as a list of offenses and wrongdoings, today's passage is sort of like a sentencing, as in they're being told how they will be punished, what will come of their transgressions. That whole first part from verse 1 through 8 is God basically saying, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. And he does exactly that. In verse 11, God says, an adversary shall surround the land and bring down your defenses from you, and your strongholds shall be plundered. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, God says, behold, the days are coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks. This is Amos foretelling exactly what would happen to Israel in the very near future. And to give a quick history lesson, the Assyrian Empire would soon surround and eventually invade Israel and take them into exile. And we know this not only from scripture, but through historical accounts. And so, what is the reason for this punishment? Well, in a lot of ways, the root cause is not all that different from what we talked about yesterday. Simply put, they were not following God. But we see in today's passage that God calls out Israel for a couple specific things. Specifically, misdirected or misguided religiosity and worship. Verse 14 says, on the day I punish Israel for his transgressions, I will punish the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. Now, what is the significance of this? Well, to put it briefly, when Israel and Judah split into two different kingdoms, the king of Israel decided on his own to make Bethel, which is a town, to make this place a place of worship. Now, on the surface, if you just leave it at that, that doesn't sound too bad. But actually, when you look into it more, the king's objective wasn't to create a space for people to meet with and worship God. It was actually a place to worship idols. You can read a lot more about this in 1 Kings chapter 12 and on, but basically this king creates golden calf idols, and he sets up priests and has people offer sacrifices and worship these idols, which is clearly not what the people of God should be doing. But that's what he does. And God is obviously not happy about this, which is why he says what he does in chapter 4, verse 4 through 5. There's a certain biting nature to what God is saying. There's almost like a sarcasm to it where God says, come to Bethel and transgress. Come and sin. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, that which is leavened, for so you love to do, O people of Israel. It's a very biting remark. Because the people were clearly very religious. I mean, again, think about those verses. They're bringing their sacrifices every morning, their tithes every 3 days, sacrifices of thanksgiving. Again, just if you were to look purely at the actions, you might think that they're actually quite devout and religious. But they were worshiping the wrong God. That seems very obvious to us, but they were worshiping the wrong God. Their practices may have looked good on some level, but they were worshiping these false idols, bowing down, sacrificing to these golden idols that have been formed by man. Now, you and I may not be in the practice of literally bowing down before any physical idols, but it's very possible that we fall into the temptation, or maybe for incidents or seasons at a time, we fall into this practice of worshiping false gods. It could be the idol of success and wealth. It could be seeking approval, the praises of man. It could be just any number of things. There are these idols that we could fall into and find ourselves worshiping and pursuing, finding our identity in. Even when it comes to things that look godly, it's possible that our true motives are not to worship God, but something else. Now, I'll confess that it's been too easy for me to be more concerned at times about pleasing others than pleasing God. That can be an idol that I wrestle with, even when it comes to the ministry work that I'm a part of. And I imagine that this kind of thing is true for all of us from time to time. But as we can see here, God desires a people who know and worship Him. And He despises idols when it comes to worship Him. So let's take some time today to repent of our idols. Maybe it's not very obvious to you. Well, let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal where your heart has been. And this isn't to say that all of us at this very moment are struggling with this, but we do become tempted in these ways from time to time. And so let's pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal this. Let's pray that it would be revealed what our heart may actually be longing after. And with that, let's also pray that we'll instead have our heart set on God, that we would worship Him and Him alone, look to Him at all times, and make Him our God, the one that we worship, the one that we adore and seek after. So let me pray for us. Father, we confess that we are often tempted to worship other things. Again, it could be something like success, or maybe we worship this idea of working a certain way or looking a certain way. Maybe we're constantly seeking approval from others or status, whatever it might be, Lord. We confess that we are often tempted to, maybe even fall into worshiping these other idols, these other gods. And Lord, we may not think of these things as idols or gods, especially in our Western context, but Lord, Lord, just want to pray a prayer of repentance, God. Forgive us for these sins. Forgive us for the ways in which we've turned away from you and put other things before you. Lord, help us each day to make you first, to put you first on our hearts and our minds, that our lives would not be revolved around these other things, but they would be revolved around you, Lord. We see in our passage how much you despise idols, Lord. We know that, God, to follow you is so much better. And so, Lord, help us to follow you, to leave behind these things, other things that we are often tempted to worship, and to delight in your presence and yours alone, God. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to spend this time with you. We love you, God. Pray these things in Jesus' name.